Everyone, welcome to the Bio Breakthroughs podcast. I'm your host, Jared S. Taylor. I'm here with Samantha Dale Strasser. How are you?
Doing well, Jared. Thanks for having me on today.
And super excited to have you here today. You're the chief science officer and co-founder of Pepper Bio. And I was kind of, you know, not trying to, you know, give you extra stuff here, but your brand, your website, I love all of it. And I had to tell you that earlier on, but I'm telling everyone now too, go check it out. If you haven't seen it, go check it out because it's awesome.
Thank you. Glad you enjoy it. And we, in terms of name, we're here to keep peppering, to find solutions to truly treat the untreatable. So here for it.
See what you did there. Let's dive in. First, let's just give us a quick overview of your background. And then if you can kind of tie that into founding Pepper Bio. And I know our audience always appreciates too if there's some challenges in there and how you overcame those challenges, but I won't tell you how to do it. Let's hear your story.
Sure. So first, just kind of big picture. I'm here for Pepper. We're based here in the Boston area. I've been here since graduate school at MIT. But big picture, just starting out for me and how I came to founding Pepper, I've always been really excited about just the data that's available in biology and the computational power to really do something meaningful with that. And so started out my technical background in biomedical engineering and applied mathematics at Northwestern University just outside Chicago. And so really got started on research there. Really excited about just the questions that were, you know, really available to tackle in the space. And also met my co-founder back then over, gosh, like 15 years ago now. So John and I first connected at Northwestern and both really resonated on a shared big picture vision to make real impact in healthcare towards solving some of the biggest challenges that are out there for patients still today. Didn't know quite what that meant for us back then in terms of where we would take that goal. But we each kind of built out our own career sets, myself on the technical side and the sciences, John more on the business strategic side. So for me, following Northwestern, I went to the University of Cambridge for my master's degree and then came back to the US for my PhD at MIT. And was while starting my PhD that I learned that my father had frontal temporal dementia, which I had never heard of the disease before that doctor's appointment, but very, very quickly learned the realities that still today, so many people face each morning where they're, you know, a family member has dementia, has Alzheimer's, has frontal temporal dementia, and there's nothing you can do to help them. And that reality really shifted and focused in many ways what I wanted to do. I'd always loved the science, but my mission now is to change someone else's future so they don't, their family member doesn't experience what my father did. And so that really honed, you know, what I wanted to do in my PhD of really seeing, okay, there's a lot of interesting technical challenges out there, but I wanted to tackle one that would really reach the clinic, would be able to get to a patient quickly, and to be able to see that transformation for a disease where we can now have hope and have an ability to go back to living our lives when that treatment's available. And so that brought me to looking at research and how do we better use the massive amounts of data that we collect. So I started working with Doug Laufenberger in biological engineering, co-advised by Kevin Haggis at Harvard Medical School, and looked at what I like to think of as data beyond genomics, right? So there's a lot of information in genomic sequencing, but it's an instruction set. And so my PhD focused on the opposite end of what happens when those instructions are carried out. Let's look at molecular actors of proteins and modified proteins to see what can we learn about disease that more effectively identifies treatments for untreatable diseases. And so at the time that meant oncology and inflammatory diseases for my PhD, and was thrilled to have some early successes in that setting. In a technology that better leverage this wealth of what I consider more functional information beyond the instruction set of genomics. So with that foundation is really what Pepper was founded on, is expanding that early technology I developed. I teamed back up with my now co-founder, John, and we launched Pepper right after I finished my PhD. And it's been a fantastic path to growing the technology and to now really having started both our own programs as well as partnering with pharma. I know that's a lot at once.
No, that was awesome
to digest. But
I told you this, and everyone listening is just probably in a trance. You're very calming when you talk. So keep going.
thank you.
Yeah, I love the personal tie, and the best companies that I've had the opportunity to interview, and there's that personal, that like the kind of behind the success, right? And those additional strides that they're making, 99% of the time, it seems like there's that personal driver. They had the problem themselves. A family member had the problem. Mm-hmm. So it's probably as tough as it is. Like I know a lot of people are very thankful that you have these drivers, and you're really trying to also look out for them. So kudos to what you're doing. When you were in school, did you ever think though that you would be starting your own company? Like everyone I talk to, very few people, and sometimes I feel like they're lying. Like I don't think anyone goes into saying, "I always knew I wanted to start my own company." Right? It almost like you need that experience that drives you to like, okay, because you have to be, this is not easy stuff, right? Like
it takes some tenacity. So yeah, I mean, I guess for me, I had not always known that I would, you know, be the founder of a company. That was not the, you know, day one starting, you know, undergrad being like, okay, I'm earning this degree to eventually be a founder. I would say that was not the goal. I knew that I wanted to guide a impact, I guess I would say, and to be able to be at a spot to help support decisions that would be enacted to help change people's lives for the better. And so I would say for me, it was looking for a path that would reach that goal of being able to look at the bigger picture, to tackle what are the most critical challenges to accomplish a goal and to make that happen, to bring the right people to do that. I will admit I had considered, you know, staying in academic research very early on. I would say that was something that I had considered, in part, you're in an academic setting. That's what everyone around you, you know, at that time, your professors, that's their path to getting things done. And so that did have an early influence on me of considering that. But for me, I would say I shifted towards the startup realm of seeing in the healthcare space, if I wanted to translate something to get to the clinic, this is for me where the right fit was to be able to keep that momentum, keep the research moving to get to a point where it could reach or impact a patient. And so that's, I guess it evolved through that goal and just realizing the speed with which a startup can move has been phenomenal. I think that's been something I've really enjoyed of that transition from earning my PhD to now leading and founding a company. It's been phenomenal. And just the enthusiasm of other people that we're working with in our team and the industry more generally and investors, our cohort of the Pepper folks has been great just to see how that grows and how quickly things happen. Yeah, it's an amazing experience.
I know when we were talking earlier, we were talking about transomics. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the impact they have on precision medicine and then, you know, at like the involvement in Pepper Bio's vision with them?
Mm-hmm. So I guess two facets, I guess I'll start actually with the latter of the vision, right? So our goal at Pepper is to, in big picture, treat untreatable diseases. And so to really look at where are the biggest challenges that exist today in your oncology and cancer and inflammatory diseases and neurodegenerative diseases, and to transform a patient path, right? To a point where you go to the clinic, there's a treatment available for your disease, you'll respond to it, which is not always guaranteed today, right? So in our future, you'll respond to the treatment and the disease itself will decline and you can go back to living your life. Now, and today, right, there's a lot of steps in that path when you may not see that kind of next step in a positive way, right? You may not have a treatment available, you may not respond, and it may not last if you do respond. And so those are really the parts that for us, we're looking to transform with transomics. And so what is transomics and how do we get to that goal? I mentioned a bit at the onset, you know, we're really overcoming the challenges that are still seen with genomics today. So if you think about, we sometimes make an analogy to the transformation that everyone's seen through navigation over time, right? So if you think to another field, you want to get from point A to point B across, say, across Boston, right? Really dizzying city to drive in. You used to have a paper static map years ago, and you'd have to plan your path. You had no idea where anyone else was, traffic was on the road, and you'd get there, but there would be a lot of challenges. It'd take a long time. Today, we have on our phones, right, this phenomenal map that tells us where other cars are and how to get someplace efficiently. We have real-time functional data to make the best decision to accomplish our goal efficiently. And that's what transomics does for drug discovery. It integrates multiple sets of data, so not just genomics, but transcriptomics, proteomics, and modified proteins to truly understand what happens in a disease, what changes, and how to fix that with a drug to effectively be able to treat the disease that's the right disease. So you're being more specific than saying a KRAS mutant cancer. You're being able to have a transomic signature to define the disease, got to get that more precise definition to have the right treatment for the right patient, to have that end goal of a treatment that works for you.
I thought you were going to use, when you were talking about maps, the T system in Boston. I was like, that is not, please don't use that.
No, that still needs some help, but we'll just table that. I appreciate public transit though, MBTA, yes. If you're listening. I do appreciate that it exists. So we'll, yes.
Let's exist.
Yes.
But improve, right? But yes, it's so I moved down to Florida a few years ago and we have no public transit. So
I have no car, so I still appreciate it. So yes. Yeah.
Well, no, you're in a great area. You're in a very for those that I feel like a lot of people have, but for those that haven't been to the Boston area, Cambridge area, it is literally one of the most walkable.
I love it. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the farthest walk you'd ever have is like 3-4 miles, right? To like get to like anywhere you need to be. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I walk most places. And I love snow. So the winter.
Okay. Well, this interview was going great, folks, until she said she loves snow because I don't believe it. No. no, that's cool. I mean, it's, I don't have any hair, Samantha, so I can't love snow. You know, it's the cold.
Okay. Fair enough. It's my, it's no worries.
One of the things with Pepper Bio, and this is, something I know you were excited about and we wanted to chat about, is one, your internal pipeline, but then two, these partnerships that you've been forming that really help you in getting where you all want to be. Talk about those one you want to chat about first, but I know we would love to hear more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I can give a little bit of big picture context to both of those. So when we first started Pepper, we often got the question of, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? So as a young company, we had this transomics analysis platform, and people often ask, how are you actually bringing this to the industry to change things? And so we actually had a lot of debates early on of, we know that we want to have large big picture impact for patients. But there was a question of, how are we going to actually take this technology and grow a company around it? And I think that's something, as an aside, is, coming from an academic program, that's a big question, right? You can have great science, but how to make that science tractable as a company is a whole nother question. And so for us, that landed on, we had a fortunate spot of a technology that we could repeatedly see new insights for drug discovery, from understanding a disease to understanding a drug. And so that allowed us optionality to, one, 100% grow our own pipeline. There's immense value there, and a lot of, ability for us to control reaching the clinic and in the disease areas that we were focusing on. So I'll talk a little bit more about some milestones we've seen there in a moment. But on the other side, because of this repeatable process we have at Pepper, we also had the opportunity to work with pharma, who's, large companies really good at getting drugs to the clinic, has ongoing programs they have questions on, and really quickly plug into that system early on to start to have impact early and to earn revenue. And so this kind of two model system for us was beneficial. One, while we were fundraising, to still have the ability to partner to bring in revenue from those partnerships. We were fortunate. We've had to date 3 pharma partnerships, one with a top 5 pharma, everything from looking at identifying novel targets to characterizing a novel drug modality. And so that also gave us the early traction to then feed into fundraising for our own drug program. So it's kind of bigger picture, you know, how there were a lot of discussions on how we're going to do that. And I think that's for what we call a platform technology, been a really effective model on multiple fronts. Now, for our pipeline, I'll delve into next. We're going after difficult to treat cancers. So we're working right now on MYC-driven cancers in partnership with Dean Felscher's lab at Stanford. And we're right now looking at liver and lymphoma. And we've been in a fortunate spot to have some really early successes in identifying 1 novel targets and 2 drugs that can go after those that are essentially been shelved assets. And so to date, of the targets that we've tested in vivo, 73% of those have successfully been validated in vivo models. Really, really exciting numbers we've seen coming through. So we've had a wealth of success in that in terms of assets that we can also consider going after. We're currently in kind of final discussions on looking at assets to bring into that program. But it's something that we've been thrilled to see that 73% success. In parallel with that, we are also building out a program that has an entirely novel asset as well. So something someone's never gone after that particular target. It's a longer term process, which is why we've had really both happening in parallel. But it's been really exciting to the start of this year of seeing that data come through and the successes that we've seen that in vivo is better than standard of care in many cases. So
how do you make that decision which target to go after? Like, so you have these first couple, right? Mm-hmm. What was the, and if you can't answer that, let me know if there's anything like that's internal. But I know our audience would be really curious, like a glimpse into your, not the full decision-making process, but a glimpse into your decision-making process.
Yeah. So that actually comes through the power of our computational platform Compass. It's actually able to prioritize targets based on a transomic signature that's from de novo data of a disease. So we'll collect data looking at essentially a disease state and a control healthy state. And then to ask, you know, what are the most impactful targets to go after that can resolve that disease. And so that's where we're able to get an evidence score essentially around that signature to prioritize those targets in order of kind of what's expected to be the highest impact and really just rank order that, which has many advantages. One, it, you know, has a, we can have a top set to consider. Secondly, it's something that actually, you know, it narrows down the universe of what you can consider, right? I think in many ways, that's a big challenge in these large omic studies. You'll get like thousands of hits and how do you validate that, right? So that's something our partners have also really emphasized is the ability to have a priority list of to go after and then to follow up and to validate and to keep moving forward with.
What excites you probably a lot, like in terms of what's next, but what excites you the most about what's next?
I mean, for me, I'd say it's being able to get to the clinic. I mean, thinking of, you know, our goal being next year that an insight that we identified can start to help a person is just mind-blowing. I think that's something to me, it's the dream in that sense, right? I mean, I think there's discovering a drug, there's a lot of steps. There's a lot of people and expertise and it's a village, right? To get to that point and to be at a company that's leading an initiative to do that is humbling. I'm really excited for that day and to be able to, you know, also just meet the people who are, you know, in that process with us is humbling in many ways.
I'm so excited for you. And
thank you.
I want to have you come back on in the future and we can
absolutely
even, you know, give us an update on where you're at. And talk even deeper, but really appreciate you being a guest here today.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on and a great conversation. Very happy to be here.